Well, good morning, church. What a great day it is for us to be able to worship together and kick off our first outdoor service of 2021. How many of you have seen someone already this morning that you haven't seen in weeks or months because we've been in multiple services? Anybody seen somebody for the first time in a while? It's great to be able to do that. And so right now, the only way that we can worship in one space is to move outside the four walls of the building and to come outside and do that.
Hey, I forgot to tell people to go to kids' worship.
Kids' worship?
That's my fault.
We've got two big kids that want to go.
Yeah, I want to go.
Any kids going to kids' worship today? If so, follow Luke and Rachel out for that. Last Sunday, we started a new worship series, a new focus, and we're looking at the battle for the mind. Many of us battle thoughts of faith and thoughts of fear. One moment we are fully aware that God is with us, that God is for us, and almost the very next moment we become almost gripped with fear, paralyzed by fear. Church, the mind is a battlefield, and most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. And so I want to begin this morning with one of the most important scriptures from God's Word on this subject. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. When you find it, say ready, so I'll know you're there. I'm not sure what it is about moving outside that the congregation becomes passive, and we need to be engaged today in God's Word, so let me hear you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here's what Paul said. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. In other words, don't think like the world thinks. Don't behave like the world behaves. Don't act like the world acts. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. That word transformed means to be changed. Be transformed. And Paul tells us how. He says, by the renewing of your mind. And so we are talking about winning the war in your mind. And I don't know about you, but I can tell you that there are times I find myself doing the things I don't want to do. And there are times I don't do the things that I want to do. It's almost like my brain misfires. It's almost like I just sort of self-destruct. Does that resonate with any of you today? Can any of you relate to that? I thought so. It's like you want to be nice to your spouse, but the next thing you know, you're raising your voice. You want to save money, but the next minute you're online and you're buying things that you don't need. It's like your mind just misfires. You want to trust God with something, and yet you keep worrying about it, and you worry about it, and you stew over it. Why is that? Why is it that we want one thing, but we decide to do something completely different? Why do we behave so irrationally? I had a friend in high school. He was a year older than I was. He's still a year older than I am. Funny how that works, right? He was to get his driver's license. So he got his license. His parents were going to take him to buy his first car. And so he called me. He said, hey, I got my car. He said, I'm going to come over. I said, what'd you get? He said, you're going to have to wait and see. So I go outside, and I'm waiting for this guy to pull up. And here comes this red, shiny Corvette down the country road, and I thought, man, surely he didn't get a vet. He didn't get a vet. It drove on by. I'm still waiting outside, and cars are passing. Here comes this cool-looking pickup truck. I thought, man, he got a cool truck. That's going to be great. Truck drove on by. So I'm thinking, well, where is he? And so I noticed down the road, you can almost hear it coming, is this old Ford Pinto driving down the road. Sure enough, my friend, he pulls in the driveway. He's in that Ford Pinto. Now, I'm just telling you, in 1985, let me just say, it was hard to look cool in a Ford Pinto in 1985. That wasn't easy. And so my friend and I, we talked about the challenges of looking cool in this car. And so we decided the best way that we could upgrade that car was to put in a car stereo system. So he went and found a used high-end Alpine stereo system, and we decided that was going to be the best way to upgrade that car. So some of you know what I'm talking about. Back in the day, turn on some Eagles in a little Hotel California or Take It to the Limit. And so we were We were riding in style as long as we could get some music in this car. It was going to raise the cool factor. So my friend, he bought this used car stereo, but he couldn't afford to have anybody put it in because he spent all of his money on the stereo. And so we said, well, how hard can it be? We'll figure it out. Now, there's no YouTube. There's nothing like that to watch a video on, but we'll figure it out. So we break into this project, and we're trying to install it, and I didn't know how to do it. He didn't know how to do it, but we were determined. And so we worked all day long trying to install this car stereo system. It was getting dark, and he said, I'm going to reach on and turn on the headlights so that we'll have light to see. And so when he turned the headlights on, guess what happened? Man, that stereo system came on. It was a glory to God moment, right? I mean, we were so excited. Next day, we're leaving. He's leaving school after class, and the stereo didn't work. He said, man, it's not working. No Eagles, no Bruce Springsteen. But oddly enough, that night, as he was driving, stereo magically began working again. So he and I, we are completely confused. The next day, stereo didn't work. That evening, it did. This goes on day after day after day. Now, some of you have already figured out what we did, but we weren't that bright. Why was this car stereo behaving so irrationally? It's because when we installed the stereo, we got the wires crossed. And instead of taking the power from the right source, we took it from the headlights. So when the headlights worked, the stereo worked. So every time the headlights were on, the stereo worked perfect. I don't think we ever corrected the wiring problem. He just drove with his headlights on, regardless of what time of day it was. And we jammed everywhere we went. Why is it that we sometimes behave so irrationally? Church, I think the reason is that we get the wires crossed in our brains. Last week, we talked about the neural pathways that take place in our brain. Every thought creates a neurochemical change in your body. Every time you think a thought, you are creating a new pathway. You are creating a new pattern of thought. Almost like a mental trail in your mind. Your experiences, your thoughts, they are wiring, they are programming your brain. For example, if a baby smiles and the mom looks at the baby and says, goo goo, and the baby in the baby's mind says, smiling is good, right? I mean, that's how that works. It's a neural pathway. This path is created and says, a smile is a good thing. If a baby touches a hot stove and the body feels pain, then this neural pathway is created that says, stove, bad. Don't touch the stove. This baby learns that if she wants a sucker and the mom says no, if the baby begins to cry and the mom gives the baby a sucker, the baby's brain says what? Crying gets me what? Crying gets me a sucker. I think in that baby's mind it also says mom's a sucker. But that's another story. So when we think a thought, our brain is creating new neural pathways. The more we think a thought, the easier it is to think that thought again, and the more dominant that thought becomes. That's good news when we're thinking on truth, right? I mean, that's good news when we're focused on God's Word, but I will tell you that it is bad news when we are believing the lies of our spiritual enemy. So why do we behave irrationally? Many times it's because we have the wires in our mind crossed. So I want us to review some of the foundational thoughts that we shared last week. What do we know about our mind? Well, we know that the mind is a battlefield. We know that most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. We explored 2 Corinthians 10, and let me just summarize it for you. Although we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. As followers of Christ, we have spiritual weapons at our disposal. And they're not the same weapons of this world. Our weapons have God's explosive power to demolish strongholds. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is a wrong pattern of thinking. A stronghold is a place where we have some wires crossed in our brain. And so we demolish arguments. And every wrongly crossed wire that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought, and we make it obedient to Christ. He said, Jason, why does this matter? Why are we spending 4 weeks talking about the battle over the mind? It was our focus last Sunday. It matters because your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. It matters because what comes into your mind comes out in your life. Friend, it matters because you cannot have a positive, faith-filled life if you have a mind that is negative-filled and full of fear. It just doesn't work that way. You cannot have a positive life if you have wires in your brain that are crossed. And church, if you don't control what you think, you will never be able to control what you do. And so today I want to share with you some tools. And over the next few weeks, we're going to add some more tools to our toolbox. But today I want to help you discover how to train your mind. How do you train your mind? I'm guessing that you've never given much thought to training your dog. Your mind. You've thought about training your dog. Some of you thought about training your body. But how do you train your mind? When it comes to the body, we realize that it isn't just about exercise. It's not only about what we do, but it's also what we put into our body. And church, it really works the same way with the mind. What we pour into our mind can either train our mind to continue believing wrong things, or it can train our mind to believe God's truth. It's not just what we do, but it's also what we put into our mind that makes a difference. And so we see this progression in Paul's life as he learned to renew his mind. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Turn there if you would. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. As you're turning there, let me give you some context. Paul is writing this letter to Christians in Philippi. And he was writing from a Roman prison. So Paul is locked up in house arrest. It's not an ideal situation. In fact, I can tell you for Paul, it was a terrifying situation because he is awaiting possible execution. This is a worst case scenario. But what did Paul say in Philippians 4? He didn't say, God has let me down, even though Paul might have thought that. Paul didn't say, I can't go on with life. Paul didn't say things couldn't get any worse than what they are. No, Paul had one final thing from a Roman prison to share. And what he said was, fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts. Somebody say, fix your thoughts. If you're watching online, put that in the chat. Fix your thoughts. I'm fixing my thoughts today. Philippians 4:8, Paul instructs us to fix our thoughts. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And I love the way the King James, the New King James, translates this verse. The King James says it like this: if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And that term meditation, when the Bible uses the word meditation, it's not referring to some new age. This isn't some spooky thing where you try to become one with the universe. It's not where you sit with your legs crossed and your arms crossed and you contemplate the lint in your belly button. That's not what this is about. Not biblically. Meditation from a biblical standpoint, when we focus our thoughts, it's when we take the time to think deeply about something or someone. Meditation involves focusing your thoughts. And there are many examples of godly people meditating on things that are true and lovely and excellent. For example, in Psalm 119, verse 15, the psalmist had this to say. He said, I meditate, God, on your precepts, and I consider your ways. What's he doing? The psalmist says, I am focusing my mind on God's powerful truth. He is training his mind to recognize God's truth and God's ways. Psalm 143, verse 5 says, God, I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have made. You see, the objective with Eastern meditation is that you empty your mind and you try to focus on nothing. The goal is to get yourself into this sort of state of calm. But Christian meditation doesn't involve emptying your mind, but instead it's about filling your mind, but fill your mind with God's truth. Fill your mind with the Word of God. That's what Paul is teaching us. We are fixing our mind as we focus on God's Word. If I were to quote the great theologian Jackie Chan, how many of you remember the remake of the movie Karate Kid? I'm sorry, but the remake's not nearly as good as the original. Mr. Miyagi and Ralph Marciano and Cobra Kai. But anyway, Jackie Chan said this thing. He said, "Your focus needs more focus." And I love that line. Your focus needs more focus. Look at the person next to you and tell them, your focus needs more focus. Friend, I can tell you that your mind needs to uncross the wires that have been programmed to believe something that is not true. And instead, we need to focus on what is true. Fix your mind on the things of God. Because when your mind drifts, I don't know about you, but my mind can drift very quickly. And when my mind drifts, it generally doesn't drift toward what is true. My mind drifts towards my own insecurities. My mind drifts towards my own fears. My mind drifts towards the lies that the devil has been telling me for years. Things like, you're not good enough. Or you're incapable. Church, we need to learn to meditate on God's truth. We need to learn to focus and to train our minds on the truth of God's word. And so I want to share with you an exercise, and it's not easy. It's not easy at all, but I think it's life-changing. If you've been believing the lies of the spiritual enemy for years, then it's going to take some time to deprogram that lie. It's going to take some time for you to replace the enemy's lie with God's truth. But I think this exercise can be a real game changer in helping us focus on what is true. And so the first question is this: what stronghold is holding you back? What would you say is the top wrong mindset that is holding you hostage? Friend, you will need to identify where you have some wires crossed in your brain. For some of us, it could be that we've been believing a lie. For example, you grew up in a household that struggled with finances, and you think, you know, I am never going to be good with money. I'm never going to get out of debt, no matter how hard I try. Or maybe you have the wires crossed in your brain, and you think, you know, I've tried for 3 years, and I can't overcome this addiction. I mean, it is killing me, and yet I just don't believe I'm ever going to be able to overcome this. Or maybe you say, I'm never going to be healthy. People in my family, they're not healthy, and just like them, I'm never going to be healthy. Or maybe you say, I'm never going to get close to God. I tried one time for 5 seconds, and my mind drifted. I don't think I'm ever going to be close to God. We believe these lies from the enemy. Or I worked so hard to get ahead, and I'm still stuck in this meaningless job. I'm always going to do something beneath me. I'm never going to get married. I'm always going to be a worrier. I'm never going to be good enough. What is the dominant stronghold where you have some mental wires that are crossed? Where has the devil trained you with a mental pathway to believe something that is not true about yourself? So that's the first part of the exercise. So we've got to identify, what is the lie? What is the stronghold? What is it that the enemy has sold us that we have bought into? And then the second part is to answer this question. What truth from God demolishes this stronghold? What is the spiritual truth that obliterates the lie that the enemy has presented? If our minds are to be renewed, then we've got to take the truth that is empowered by God's living word, and we have to believe it, and we have to act on God's truth. Because, church, His word is powerful enough to bring the much-needed transformation to our lives. So we want God's word to renew our mind, right? It's what we desire. Paul challenges us. And so I'm going to encourage you to write out God's truth. And that's the part that's not easy. Is I'm going to encourage you to write out the truth that demolishes the stronghold in your life that is holding you back. We need to write out God's truth, and then we need to think about it. We need to meditate upon it. And after we've written out this statement of truth, after we've focused on it and we've thought deeply about it, our minds will begin to be renewed and our lives will be changed. And so we write it out. We think deeply on it. We confess it until we believe it. You say, what's the point? The point is we are creating new pathways in our brain as God renews our mind with His truth. So let me give you some examples of what this might look like. Maybe you're struggling to know God's will. And so you create a statement of God's truth. Sounds something like this. My life belongs to God. I am God's. Daily I seek Him. And daily God directs my steps. I know God's voice because I am His sheep. He is my shepherd. And so God is directing my life. God is sharing with me His plan, His perfect will for me. And so you write this out and you begin to think about it. And you confess it until you start believing it. My life belongs to God. Daily I seek Him. Daily He directs my step. I know God's voice and He leads me to His perfect will. Or maybe you're lacking in confidence. You struggle with being insecure and feeling inadequate. And so your statement might be this. Because the Spirit of Christ lives within me, my confidence is in Christ and Christ alone. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. So we take God's truth and we write it out and we think on it. We focus on it and we confess it until we believe it. Maybe you struggle with lustful thoughts. You're tired of being held hostage to shameful images. Friend, if you want to renew your mind, you might write something like this. I am not a slave to lustful thoughts. Why? Because God has cleansed my mind. God has changed my life. I will honor Christ with my eyes. I will honor Christ with my thoughts. My God is faithful. He is so faithful that even when I am tempted, God is going to give me a path out. He's going to give me a way of escape. And so you write out this truth and you think on it and you confess it until you believe it. Or maybe you find comfort in food and you want to change the path in your brain. The truth you write out might sound like this. When I am stressed, instead of turning to food, I'm turning to God. He is my shepherd. He is all that I want. He is all that I need. I come to Jesus and in Him I find strength. In Him I find comfort. Maybe you're consumed with worry. Your truth might be this, because of Christ. I'm not anxious about anything. But instead, I'm casting all of my cares upon God. Why? Because He cares for me. He loves me. I am His. And I have the peace of God dwelling in my heart. And I have the peace of God ruling in my mind. You see, church, you start by identifying the stronghold. What is the stronghold where the wires are crossed? And then what is the spiritual truth that sets you free? And after you've written out God's truth, you think deeply upon it. And you confess it until you believe it. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Friend, this process that I'm sharing with you, I believe that it will create new neural pathways. It will straighten out any crossed wires, so that your mind is aligned with the truth of God's Word. And church, that's what it looks like to renew our mind. Some of you may be questioning, but why does any of this matter? I can tell you it matters because your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. It matters because if you can't control what you think, you'll never control what you do. Friend, I think it's time to take back your mind by meditating on God's truth. Fix your mind on what is true and excellent and praiseworthy. Meditate on these things. Again, you need to focus more. Your focus needs more focus. So focus our mind on the truth of God's Word. And as followers of Christ, what happens when we commit to this? Well, I can tell you, we will not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Listen, renewing your mind, it doesn't happen by trying harder. It doesn't happen by trying to be smarter. It doesn't happen by exerting more effort. No, the greatest power to overcome the lies of the enemy is the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen? Right? Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will what? It will set you free. And so for those of you who are in Christ, the message from God's Word is that you have the same power dwelling inside of you that raised Christ from the dead. Friend, you are a weapon of righteousness in this world of darkness. You are not your past. You are not what you did. But you are who God says you are. And what does God say about you? He says you're forgiven. He says that you are redeemed. He says that you are free. Friend, you are not a hostage to your unhealthy thoughts. Listen, the weapons you fight with, they are not the weapons of this world. But they have the power to demolish strongholds. You have the mind of Christ directing your thoughts. You have the Word of God directing your steps. Worry is not your master because you are trusting God. His peace guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Listen, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but He has given you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. The Lord is your helper, and so you'll not be afraid. You will not be a slave to your habits. You're not a prisoner to your past. You have been rescued from the power of darkness, and you have been ushered into the kingdom of God's light. And your God will bless you so that in all things and at all times, you will have everything you need to do everything that God has called you to do. Friend, this is the truth. And it is truth that will set you free. Nothing will separate you from the love of God. There is no power on earth that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So why does it matter? It matters because most of life's battles, they are won or lost in the mind. And the good news is that although the battle rages, Christ has won the war. Amen? Christ has won the war. So my prayer for you is that God would give you clarity. As you're trying to work through this exercise, you're trying to identify the strongholds in your life. I'm praying that God would give you clarity as to the lies that you have wrongly believed. And for some of us, it's hard. It's hard to identify the lie because we don't even recognize that it's a lie. Maybe we've been believing it so long that it has had an impact on us, and we believe it is true. And so my prayer is that God will help us identify the lie, and then God will give us His truth so that our minds will be renewed and our lives will be changed. And it may take weeks. It may take months. But I'm praying that God will give you a breakthrough as He changes the way that we think. Some of you this morning, you feel so far from God. Maybe you feel like you've been too bad for God to love you. How could God love somebody like me? Let me tell you. Let me tell you the truth of God's love. The gospel message is that God rules. The Bible tells us God created everything through and for Jesus, and that includes you and me. Friend, our God is perfect. He is a loving ruler. We belong to Him. God rules, but we sinned. Sin is when we decide that we're going to disobey God. Sin is when we do what God doesn't like for us to do. Sin is when we do what we want instead of what God wants. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned. We are all sinners who have missed the mark. And sin separates us from God. Friend, God's punishment for our sin is that we will forever be separated from God. We all deserve this punishment. And yet God has a plan to save us. A plan to save us from our sin. God rules, we sinned, but God provided. God provided for us the only way to save us from our sin. He made a way to rescue us from the punishment that we deserve. John 3:16. You know it by heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. God's perfect solution is Jesus. Jesus is God's Son. Sent to earth many years ago, Jesus was God on earth. He did everything God wanted. Jesus never sinned. He lived a perfect life. He didn't deserve any punishment. And yet because of his love for you and me, he took the punishment that we deserve upon himself. God rules. We sinned. God provided. And friend, Jesus gives. Jesus died on the cross in our place. Everything that we've done wrong was punished through Jesus' death on the cross. He died in your place. He died in mine. And because of his death on the cross, you and I can be forgiven of all of our sins. But not only that, not only did Jesus take our punishment upon himself, but when we put our trust in him, when we turn from sin and we put our faith in Christ, not only does he forgive us, but he gives us a gift. And that gift is that we get credit for his perfect life. You see, in God's eyes, when he looks at us, it's as if we never sinned. Jesus willingly died in our place. And he died because he loves you. But when Jesus died, the Bible is clear that he didn't stay dead. God brought his one and only Son back to life. When God the Father raised Jesus back to life, it was an indication that God's showing us that he accepted the punishment that Jesus took in our place. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 testifies, says, "But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Friend, there is a day coming, a day when Jesus will return to this earth. And when he does, those who have not put their faith in God, they will be punished forever in a real place called hell. Those who have been forgiven, those who have received his gift of eternal life, well, we will be welcomed into heaven. So God rules. He created us to be with him, and we sinned. We messed up. We disobeyed him. God provided. He provided his Son who lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins. Jesus took our punishment for us. And Jesus gives eternal life to us as we place our trust in him. Friend, because of Christ's sacrifice, you and I can be part of God's family forever. But we have to respond. We've got to respond to the good news. And we do that by understanding who Jesus is, by understanding who we are. Listen, God loves you more than anything in this universe. He wants you to be part of his family. So if you're ready to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, if you want to receive the gift of eternal life today, if you're prepared to turn away from sin and to place your trust in Christ, then you tell him. Just right where you are, "Jesus, I want you to be first in my life. Save me from my sins. You take the throne in my life. You take control. God, by faith, I am turning away from my sin and I am surrendering myself to you." Friend, the Bible teaches the importance of letting others know of our life-changing decision to follow Christ. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing. And as soon as we start singing, you meet me down front, the base of these steps, and let me know that you have surrendered your life to Christ. Maybe you feel like God's leading you to connect with the Friendship family. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing here. There's no reason to delay. If God's prompting you to come, you come. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you for your word. And God, we know that there's a battle raging. And it's not just daily, but it's moment by moment. Battle for our mind. So much of our life is directed by the thoughts that we think. And we know the power of our mind being renewed through the scriptures. So Lord, I pray that you continue teaching us what that looks like. We don't want to be conformed to the pattern of this world. We don't want to think like the world thinks. We don't want to behave like the world behaves. We want our mind to be renewed. So Father, as we dig deeper into your word, help us to understand your truth. Help us to identify the lies, but help us to grasp the truth, knowing that your truth will set us free. God, I lift up those this morning who do not know you as Lord and Savior. Father, for those who feel far from you, I pray that today they would turn from their sin. And they would be prepared to put their trust in your Son, Jesus. God, move in our lives, we pray. And we ask this in the powerful name of Jesus. 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 Powerful name